All right. Big hair, spanking, and guilt. That's some good stuff. Good morning. We are this close to getting our 140 mark for Right Now Media, so if you have not signed up, please sign up this week. I think we have about 134 that have signed up, so that's great. I hope you're taking advantage of some of those videos. Remember, you can sign yourself up, your children up, your dog up. Well, maybe not your dog, but you can sign lots of folks up for that. For those of you who are guests with us this morning, we've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes written by a fellow by the name of Qohelet. Qohelet is the Hebrew word for teacher or preacher. And so you'll hear me refer to Qohelet. Qohelet talks about looking for meaning in life, and all the roads, as you can see from the image on the screen, all the roads that he goes down trying to find that until he gets to the final road, in which what he discovers is the real meaning of life is to fear God and keep his commandments. But there are many roads in between, and we will continue on one of those in chapter 8 this morning. We had a great time at the Pepperdine Bible Lectures this last week. Scotty and Tammy and Lisa Grigsby and myself went there, and we appreciate the elders supporting us in going there. Some great classes that we went to. Tammy and Lisa went to a class on building up the church. I wasn't quite sure what that was about until I saw this image. I didn't know that class was offered there, but that was down at Venice Beach, and so we had some great times out there. We actually did attend some classes and had some good experiences out there, but had a lot of fun as well. Let's go to God in prayer as we begin. Father, we do thank you for this book, because we often wrestle with meaning in life, as Qohelet has done. We struggle with some difficult things that come our way, with injustice in life and unfairness. We'd ask you to help us to glean the wisdom from Qohelet this morning, to learn how to live the best fulfilled life and to fear you and keep your commandments. Bless us as we go through this text. Bless the preaching and hearing of your word. It's through your son we pray. Amen. 1953, a drug called Daraprim was developed to help people with a parasite that they would get in them. It was particularly impactful to those who had low immunity. So it became very effective for helping people with AIDS. This last summer, a company called Turing Pharmaceuticals bought that drug and then immediately jacked up the price from $13.50 a pill to about $700 a pill. That's a little bit over 5,000% jump. Now, that happened because we live in a world where there's free enterprise and you can do such things. But in what universe does anyone think that doing such a thing, even if you can do it, is somehow moral? Well, I can tell you in what universe. In the universe of Martin Shkreli, who was the CEO of the company. And when a reporter asked him about this, Shkreli's only comment was, "You're a moron." This is the epitome of injustice and unfairness in the world. And Qohelet, in chapter 8, points out what you and I already know and experience all the time. There is a lot of injustice and unfairness in the world. And he talks about that somewhat from a government standpoint, but from other standpoints. So he says this, "Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause. For he will do whatever he pleases, since a king's word is supreme. Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?'" The king is ultimate. He is going to do what he wants to do. There's probably no better story in the whole Bible of that happening than King Ahab in the Old Testament, who really wanted this vineyard that belonged to a guy named Naboth, and his wife Jezebel worked behind the scenes so that the king could take what was not his, rightfully Naboth's, but take it back from, or take it from Naboth as his own. And this is what Qohelet is telling us. Kings do whatever they want to do. And not just kings. He goes on, "All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun." There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. We'll come back to that phrase in just a moment. "Then too I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless." There are some people who lord it over others, who have power and authority, and they abuse others with that power and authority. They take advantage of other people. The rich and the powerful take advantage of the poor and the weak. People like Martin Shkreli and people like Dennis Hastert. And some of those people, Cole, it says, are religious people. You'll see them coming from the temple. You'll see them coming from church. You read the New Testament and the Gospels, and you see Jesus going into the temple and turning over the tables because of the power of the priests within that time. Archaeologists have found this building called it's at the Wohl Museum now, that they are almost certain was the home of the high priest in Jesus' day. And this is an elaborate mansion that this guy is living in. And where is he getting all the money from this? From the temple tax, from all the business that's being conducted in the temple. So Jesus goes in and turns over the tables. That's not what this is all about. But you have a guy who's powerful, and he's abusing his power and his position that he has. And we see that even in Christianity with priests in the Catholic Church abusing young children, or pastors and preachers of churches taking advantage of their positions. So what will we do? Kohelet is asking. What will we do when we see this injustice and we see this unfairness in the world? The Bible speaks much of this, about speaking out for this. For instance, the prophet Elijah spoke out against Ahab and challenged Ahab, and finally the big battle on Mount Carmel. But Elijah the prophet speaking against injustice. And then you have the prophet Nathan. You know, David gets involved in this affair with Bathsheba and then has her husband killed and thinks he's gotten away with it until the prophet Nathan comes along and challenges him. But Kohelet's not really interested so much in general injustice that prophets may speak out against. He's talking about unfairness and injustice to you. When somebody has mistreated you, what will you do about it? And the common idea among us very often is, if no one else is going to step in, if the government's not going to step in, if nobody's going to step in to take up my cause, I'm going to step in and take up my cause. And so he says this in verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. If nobody's going to step in and do this, I'm going to take care of it myself. Let's get even, right? Let's get even. And all around the world, we've been seeing it on the news, some evil people have been doing some evil things in the name of Allah, shooting up people in airports and grocery stores and blowing up people at marathons. And some of us want to respond to that by any means. Waterboarding? Why, sure, waterboard them till they're dead. What else can we do to them? Let's gas them. Let's electrocute them. Let's do whatever we have to do to get back at them. But at what point do we say to ourselves, this behavior or that behavior is unacceptable? This behavior or that behavior is immoral? Have you seen the movie Taken? This father who's like this ex-CIA guy gets his daughter, she goes to Paris and she gets kidnapped by these guys who are going to sell her into sex slavery. And so he's going to come over and deal with it because the government's corrupt. In fact, the government's in on it. So he finally catches one of these guys who kidnapped her because he's trying to find out where she is. And he ties him up and he hooks some electrodes up to him, you know, and he starts turning on the electricity to torture him and torture him and torture him until the guy speaks. And finally, when he gets the information that he wants, he turns it up full blast to just electrocute this guy to death. And everybody in the theater is going, yeah, yeah. We like that. There's three simple ingredients you realize to make a blockbuster movie in Hollywood. The first is scantily clad women. The second is fast things, fast cars, fast motorcycles, fast boats, whatever fast. And the third thing is you blow things up and you shoot a lot of things up. If you put all those in a movie, you're going to have a blockbuster seller. But you kind of need to have a plot, don't you? And here's the plot. You have a bad guy who's done something wrong to this guy, and nobody's going to step in and help this guy out, so he's going to take matters into his own hand and get revenge. You hurt me, I hurt you back. And we like that theme. We pay for that theme. We cheer for that theme. There's this impulse of revenge in us, isn't there? It's not always in a large scale. Sometimes it's in us in a very small scale, but it's in a small scale every day. Sometimes injustice happens to you. It may have happened to you this week while driving down North Street. sometimes people drive very poorly on North Street. Have you noticed that? Just every now and then. And they cut you off in traffic and do all kinds of... And the police are nowhere to be found. And they will do nothing about this. So who's going to do something about this? Why, you, of course, right? I mean, those people need to be taught a lesson, don't they? Don't they? So you're going to teach them a lesson, maybe do a little yelling at them. Some of you can maybe get a little over carried away, give them a California howdy, you know, the one finger wave, right? You're going to teach them a lesson. Ride their bumper. Cut them off yourself. Going to do something to them to make sure that you take care of them. Or when somebody says something cutting or sarcastic to you, then your reply is equally cutting and sarcastic. Or if it's not, you wish you were more witty, you know. So when you get home later on, you think of, oh, I wish I could have said that. That's the thing I really wanted to say to them. You wish you could be witty enough to say those things. It really feels good to give people a zinger back, doesn't it? Come on, doesn't it? And you walk away. Guess you won't mess with me again, huh? But something's happening in that exchange. Something's happening in all of these exchanges. We are now becoming more like the person who has cut us down. We are now becoming more like the person who has abused us or treated us unfairly in some way. They have acted in a bad way. They have spoken in a bad way to us. We have returned to that, and now we are becoming more like them. The more we act like them, the more we are them. And Colette encourages us, of all the roads we're going to go down, that is one road you do not want to go down. Because evil will come, and evil's going to come in all kinds of forms, and maybe it's going to come from the government, and maybe it's going to come from powerful people, and maybe it's going to come from crazy drivers on North Street. Evil is going to come. But those who commit evil are ultimately, he says, destroying themselves. Let's go back to chapter 8, verse 9. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Now, I realize some translations say to the other's hurt, because the original language just says he lords it over others to his hurt. So his own or the other's. But really, in the context, it really stands out more of he's hurting himself in this process, especially when you go on and read some verses further down. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before Him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Are you hearing what Colette is telling us? You know this phrase, right? What comes around goes around, right? Or if you want to use the language of the Apostle Paul, be sure and know your sin will find you out. Evil, Scripture tells us, is its own punishment. And so rather, Colette's encouraging us, rather than seek revenge and retribution, the kind of people we need to be are the kind of people who fear God. It's going to go better for you in the world, he says, if you be a person that fears God. Because when you fear God, when you trust in God to take care of things, you are going to remain human. You are not going to develop this calloused heart towards other people. Those who do not fear God lose their humanity inch by inch. You may not notice it when you give someone the cutting comment, but all of those things begin to add up. And if we're willing to say those things, if we're willing to return that bad behavior, what other bad behavior are we willing to return? So that even we would go for torturing people. And inch by inch, our hearts are calloused. And inch by inch, we are changed. This is what J.R.R. Tolkien was getting at when he showed us the character Gollum in Lord of the Rings. This person who was this kind person, but grasped at the ring. And over a period of time, he just becomes this ugly person, because that's what the kind of thing does to you. This sin, this retribution, this revenge. And so the real issue in here that Colette is getting at is the issue of trust. Am I going to trust God with my future? Am I going to trust God to sort all these things out? Am I going to trust God to make things right? Or am I just going to trust myself? Am I the one to handle it? Am I the one to make things right? So fear, in some sense, equals trust in this text. One of the greatest things we saw at the Bible lectures this week was Ruby Bridges telling her story. If you don't know who Ruby Bridges is, this picture might remind you. 1960, this little black girl was ushered into her elementary school in New Orleans as integration began taking place there. One little black girl and a whole school of white people and the U.S. Marshals have to escort her in while people shouted and screamed at her along the way. And for a while, she was the only one in the classroom because the white people wouldn't send their children to school with her. And a psychiatrist became very interested in Ruby Bridges because Ruby is experiencing all these terrible things, all this trauma that she's going through. And so he asked her, Ruby, as you go through all, went through all those people, weren't you afraid? And she said, let me tell you something. When I left home, my mother said to me, you behave yourself. And I was way more afraid of her than all those people. Mothers can do that. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, right? My own mother came to my defense and the defense of so many other children at my junior high. I went into junior high. Somebody had this wise idea to build this building, just a big square building, put a classroom in each corner and then one in the middle and no walls between any of them. Now, for a person that, you know, really gets distracted by shiny things very easily, that was tough. And I'm sitting in the back of the classroom, and all of a sudden a spit wad hits me in the back of the head from the kid in the classroom over. And then I turn around, and I flick a little football, and he's putting up the goalposts. And they're watching a movie in the next class, and I'm leaning back in my chair. So it was a little difficulty paying attention and studying. So my mother got a bunch of mothers together and marches down to the school. We want walls in between those classrooms so our children can study. And guess what happened? They put walls in between those classrooms. Because when mama bears step up, be afraid. Be very afraid. And Ruby was afraid of her own mother. Mama bears are to be feared by their own children and by those who hurt or take advantage of their children. The Bible encourages us to fear the Lord because fear of the Lord, it says, is the beginning of wisdom. That's the best way we learn how to live our lives is start with God is the center, God is the one we respect, God is the one we fear. And so the wise know that who is the one that has the power? It is the Lord. And the wise know and the wise trust in that God is going to work things out. And God will bring justice. And so the wise person fears the Lord, doesn't attempt retribution. The wise person understands that vengeance belongs to the Lord. And the wise person trusts the Lord to make things right. So Qohelet begins this whole section this way. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. If wisdom is your guide, Qohelet's telling you, your life is going to be so much better because evil is going to eventually find that person out and hurt that person. And they're going to end up hurting themselves by the bad things they do. And so if you're wise, and if you use wisdom as a guide, you are going to be content. Ask yourself this question when somebody has done something wrong to you and you want retribution. How many times have you laid in bed at night plotting against them? How many times have you laid in bed at night dwelling on what they said or dwelling on what they did? And how many times have you laid in bed at night not sleeping? And who's getting hurt in that whole process? And the wise who fear and trust the Lord and realize that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The wise who trust in that, Qohelet is saying, you're going to have a better life and things are going to go better for you. Let's stand and sing.